Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hello, hello. We are in a different setting today, but really excited to go live with Dr. Tracy. If you hear a child crying in the back, that's mine. But she is with someone, so it's okay. We're going to talk about intimacy and partner connection, especially post-baby. This is a subject that we get a lot of requests to talk about more because it's such an important one. And so many couples struggle with their intimacy and also with their just overall connection after having kids. That can be a newborn in the house, or it can be toddlers or older kids. So we're going to talk about that. We had a lot of really great questions, and I'm really excited to connect with Dr. Tracy about that. This is what she specializes in, what she's asked about most, and what she focuses on. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you. I'm so excited to have this conversation with you for the before, during, and after. Just knowing, gosh, how much changes in our relationships after having baby. And as you're saying, you've got someone screaming in the background and you are in the thick of this.
I know. Yeah. I mean, I totally think this is such a big and important subject, and it's one that we've covered before in a different way, but I think that to your point, when you originally messaged me, it's, you know, there's never enough support when it comes to relationships and intimacy and also connection postpartum. And everything is so different with your partner after you have a baby. And that can be like a phase and a moment while the baby is a newborn or right when you welcome a child into the home. And it can be something that lasts for a really long time and just builds, you know, continual resentment. And I know that you do really great, you know, videos and also content just about resentment and also how to communicate with your partner, different tips and tricks, which I think are so amazing. And we'll make sure to link them all out because they're really easily digestible and approachable content that you do. But let's just first start and go back a little bit to kind of the whole idea of your partnership and your intimacy changing after you have a baby and how big of a subject that is for you in your space.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the biggest things that I hear from people is I was not prepared for this. Mm-hmm. Nobody talks about just this whirlwind in your relationship. We often prepare the nursery, our labor plan, who's going to visit us in the hospital. And we think that our relationship should just effortlessly fall into place. And yet what we know is we're bringing two separate people with our own histories and wounds and experiences to then come together and parent this dependent little being. And inevitably you're going to do it differently. So I hear from almost every parent, we were not prepared. We were just turned upside down. We struggled through finding ourselves and then also through finding each other.
When you talk about like all the preparation work, I mean, I think there are so many different things that we are unprepared for when it comes to pregnancy, postpartum, your healing process, breastfeeding, like every single part of just the pregnancy journey and also becoming a parent journey, if that's in a different way. That there are so many different things that I think that we could do better on preparing parents for. When it comes to partnership, what do you think can be done in advance when it comes to, you know, welcoming a child into your family, not wanting to, you know, being aware of the fact that there are so many couples who feel disconnected from their parent after welcoming a baby? There's always like, I think, you know, as women, when you have a baby, you're kind of like, oh, you know, 6 weeks, I know sex is off the table and intimacy is off the table because it's, you know, you just had a baby, if you had a C-section, if you had a vaginal delivery, mm-hmm. there's, you know, that's not something that's even on the table. But then after that, it is on the table to your partner and it's on the table in your relationship. Some people are totally great with that. Other people are like, absolutely not. I remember I was talking to one of my girlfriends recently and her child's 8 months old. And she's like, we have not even talked about sex after having my baby. Uh-huh. So I think that there are so many different levels of, you know, how people view that and also just intimacy in general. Would you advise people to do prep work before having their baby on their partnership? And what would that look like?
Do we give each other a hug and a kiss in the morning? Let's make sure we're still doing that when baby comes. That's one piece. So these intentional ways of connecting together. The other piece would be around, how am I going to flag you for support? If I'm struggling in some way, if I'm sleep deprived and I need more help, if I'm experiencing anxiety or depression, how will you flag and how can you support me? And just having those conversations ahead of time can really help to prepare our mindset so that when our partner is in that moment, we can see it, right? The other piece I love sharing with parents is to talk about how you can emotionally connect and reassure each other. If you're not having sex, the reassurance of the emotional piece is still important. And saying to your partner, I know we're going to go through this time. I know we're not going to be close and connected in the way that we are right now. And yet I want you to know that one day we will get back to that place.
Those are great little tips to be able to kind of implement and also be on the same page about when it comes to your partnership. When you do mention like, okay, let's take sex off the table for the first year, I feel like there would be so many couples who would be like, what? Like, that's not, like, that sounds really daunting. Maybe one is not on the same page when the other person says that to another person. Maybe there's, I think a lot of people also, they are aware that there will be changes in the dynamics of their relationships when you welcome a baby into your family or a second or a third, whatever that looks like. But, the intimacy and also like sex component that comes in the mix there, feels like maybe for some people like, oh, with our crazy lives, with our crazy schedules, how are we supposed to have any time for one another? And if we take sex off the table completely, what does that mean for our relationship? Right. Can you talk a little bit about, people's kind of differing opinions there?
Absolutely. So I would encourage people to look at how you understand intimacy in sex. Oftentimes we define sex as penis and vagina in a heterosexual relationship. We define it as the end goal of orgasms. And yes, that is so important. And it's also just one way that we can feel close with our partners. We need to also broaden that, because if your partner is not ready to, then we are actually hurting the overall intimacy of the relationship in the long run. Catherine, here's the most common thing I hear from women in my office. And that is, I said yes. I said yes at 1 month postpartum or 6 weeks or 2 months. I kept saying yes. I knew my partner wanted to, so I kept saying yes. And now here we are 2 years postpartum and my body is saying, absolutely not, I can't. And so while we can hold space and validate for our partner that, yes, I know you want to have sex with me, at the same time, I'm not ready. And us finding other ways to find pleasure and play and physical connection in the long run, that is going to help us get back or recreate rather what it is that's going to feel good for us, right? I mean, think about this. Intimacy in the sense of there's experiential intimacy. You can do an activity together, make a favorite recipe, play a new card game, emotional intimacy, being vulnerable and sharing what's happening inside of us. Physical intimacy. We can feel close and bonded with our partners through just a 30-second hug and just a 6-second kiss. That releases oxytocin, which is the cuddle hormone. It's the bonding hormone that occurs between parents and child when they're feeding. We can do those small things in our relationship rather than putting all of that pressure into this narrow definition of what sex looks like, of what the standard often is. If you and your partner are at such a crossroads in terms of what intimacy looks like after having a baby, please don't wait to get help. You need someone to help you through that conversation. Because if one person is saying, yes, I'm okay to keep doing that, even when I don't want to, you are abandoning yourself and you are self-sacrificing. And when you go into that space, in the long run, we end up building resentment. And that, again, is just going to deteriorate our relationship.
I saw one of your videos that you had posted about resentment, which I think is such a big theme when it comes to becoming a parent, and also just like the learning curve that comes with, you know, each person understanding or kind of getting in their own groove as to what they might be responsible for, what they might be helping out in different spaces. So I do think that there is a learning curve with, you know, figuring out what each person is in charge of, really, like what, where they can help, where their strengths are, where the other partner's strengths are. So when it comes to just overall communication between partners, there were a couple of people who wrote in asking about just how to improve communication between partners in a few simple steps. And that's communication around intimacy, but also communication around just your relationship and also, you know, household and just kid-oriented responsibilities, just kind of overall communication between relationships. What are like three simple steps that you would give to somebody who might be struggling in that space?
So I would say first, spend some more time inside asking yourself, what's happening for me? What am I feeling and what am I needing? And those sentences really easily, those thoughts can sound like, I feel overwhelmed, I feel anxious, I feel alone, I feel sad. And then connecting it to some kind of need. What's the need? I need connection. I need attention. I need time. I need time alone so that you can take the baby or you can take on a different task in the house, right? If we go into the mental load conversation, giving tasks that they're not all on us anymore. Mm-hmm. And then when we communicate to our partner, so if one is going inside and trying to understand what this is, because the number one problem we make when it comes to communicating with our partner is we're reactionary. We come from a very hot space and we can get into those negative communication patterns like criticism and blame, defensiveness. We can get hostile and we want to communicate from a softer place, which is often most core emotions. So that's number one. Number two, I would say less is more, because what we tend to do when it comes to communicating our needs with our partner is that we over-explain ourselves. We give justifications for why we need things. So Catherine, like a common thing will be like, I really need you to make the kids' lunches today. Because last night I was up six times and then I got to do bath time tonight and then I'm doing pickup. All of that explanation loses just that simple ask, mm-hmm. right? And then that last piece there is, I love this way of giving feedback. And again, this is really simplified for a really big topic here, which is saying, I feel, and connect it to a behavior that your partner has done. So for example, they're on their phone and the kids are on the floor and it's like, this is all on me. What's going on? I'm exhausted. I need space. I feel exhausted when you're on your phone, or I feel overwhelmed when you get home late. And when we can connect our feelings to their behavior, it's smaller. It's a fact plus feeling. It's a smaller piece of information. And it also allows for the other person to hear how they are impacting you.
When you were suggesting couples therapy and also just mm-hmm. like being able to seek outside help, obviously that is, you know, that's amazing advice. And also, you know, for people who are in a situation where they can afford or have access to a couples therapist, I think that's an incredible idea and also a huge gift. I feel like we've come a long way in the therapy space of it being something that we can talk openly about, you know, having therapy, experiencing the world of therapy. There used to be, obviously, and, you know, still is a huge amount of stigma in that space. And there's more conversation now about mental health and just mental health awareness and, the kind of gift of therapy, looking at it as a real gift and not really a weakness. I think that, you know, it's actually a strength, obviously, to be able to seek therapy, seek wisdom, and tools in various spaces. And that includes couples therapy. I have a ton of parents in different classes that my kids are in, that they talk about being in couples therapy, not because they have a problem, but because they're doing it just to have a good place of communication and open communication. And I think that it's such a, if you have the ability to do it, it's such a huge gift to give to your relationship, to have that person or that space where you feel comfortable and your partner feels comfortable to communicate about things that are not necessarily fun to talk about. Is that something that you recommend people start doing as a preventative thing before kids come into the picture?
Yes, I wish more people showed up into my office before any big life transition. And the reason for that is because there's not so many hurts and wounds that are in there. You aren't so far apart. When you come in at the earlier stages, you're still having moments of connection. I often think of tree branches, where our choice each day is to grow the branches of our tree together. That's a choice we make in our relationship. And yet what happens when it comes to these big life milestones is that we then start to feel further and further apart. And so many people describe feeling like two ships passing in the night when it comes to having children, which of course you are sleep deprived. You have, you know, in your case, you have two little ones who are very dependent and need both of you hands on. So it isn't easy to stop and do this. But the more disconnected we are, then the more negative emotions start to show up, the more we're not getting our needs met. And if we don't have the skills and tools to be able to come back together, it's going to be even harder. And I remind people that it takes longer to make changes the longer that you wait. And so if you could go early, it's so much better.
When it comes to just communication as a part of a relationship, I think that there are, you know, a lot of situations with people at various phases of their relationship, with young kids, with older kids, where there might be one person in the relationship who's like, I'm not down to have this sort of communication. Uh-huh. It's not familiar to them. They've never done it before. They feel very against this idea of getting really vulnerable, doing this form of communication. And, you know, one person might really be adamant about it and feel like, listen, we have problems in our relationship where I want to communicate on this level. And the other person feels like, this is not for me. This isn't something we've done in the past. I don't want to do it. What do you do in a situation like that?
Yes, absolutely. First, if therapy is within reach for you, go for it for yourself, because you can still work on you. Mm-hmm. I talk about three things that you can do. So the first is you can acknowledge what your own needs are and what's missing in the relationship. That's something that you can do. So that's super important to tune into. What is missing for me? Second, look at your own ways of communicating. When it comes to understanding couples, we can understand it from a systemic perspective, which means that when one person changes, there's an opportunity for the other person to change over time. So if I'm always showing up with my husband in a very critical space, guess what? He's going to be defensive naturally because I'm attacking him. But if I go to him in an open space using I feel statements, talking about my needs and desires, that gives him a chance to see me and to maybe not be defensive. That's the second piece. The third piece is prepare yourself for how your partner is going to respond. So someone said, what if I feel statements don't work? Yes, of course, but let's redefine what working means. Are you expressing yourself because that feels good for you? Then yes, keep doing that. And if your partner gets defensive, prepare yourself for how you can then respond to that. It was a perfect example, actually, just the other night. I had shared something with my husband, and he knows that I share this. So it's like his go-to is his defensive response. So he got defensive, and I did all the right things. I did all the moves. He got defensive, and then I had said, I hear you. I'm going to just say this one more time. This is something that's really important to me. And so we can prepare ourselves for how our partners are going to respond, because we do tend to be predictable in our behavior.
One of the things that I have found to be so helpful in communication in our relationship, my relationship with my husband, is this I don't know if a lot of people might not be familiar with it, but is this act of mirroring. So like when somebody says something, you regurgitate it, which yeah. in the moment can sometimes be frustrating if it's like a kind of highly sensitive subject or if people have certain feelings about something. But I think that being able to kind of have a moment where you can repeat what the person says and also what the point is that they're trying to get across. Because we sometimes, especially if it's a moment where someone's defensive or has feelings about something, there can be moments where you hear something completely different than what the person said, which I think is so interesting. And I remember my mom teaching me about that long before I even met my husband and was married and had kids, of course, but being able to have the ability to communicate with somebody and say like, okay, this is what I heard you say. And this is what, is this what you meant? Or am I interpreting that differently? Or being able to be on the same page about that. And I, you know, I'm really grateful that, you know, we can communicate about those things. But is that something that you kind of advise people to do in their communication with one another, kind of repeating things back so you are on the same page about what your partner is communicating about?
100%. We listen to respond rather than listen to understand. I mean, think about that for a minute. We are hearing others and preparing what we want to say next, rather than actually listening to be curious and to see what's happening inside of them. So mirroring the validation piece, the saying right back what exactly they're saying. I used to say to my husband, I'm telling you I'm sad. Just say, I see that you're sad. And he would say, so I should just say, I see you're sad. And I said, yes, it's so simple. Just say it. And he's like, I see you're sad. You know, we had a juggle, right? Because it's like, oh, thank you. Because what that mirroring does is it is sends the message of security to us. It says what you're experiencing is real and what you're saying matters. And I'm pausing to hear it. So on the receiving end of your partner mirroring and validation and validating you, that is very soothing and comforting. But on the other end, if you are someone who tends to be very reactive or defensive or you're guarded or your ego shows up, however you want to talk about it, when you use mirroring, it gives you a chance to slow down a little bit and then to pause and ask yourself, what's my next move? And sometimes that next move might just be, thank you for letting me know. I need to think more about this. We don't have to solve everything in the moment. That comes from a very ego place of wanting to defend ourselves. Mm-hmm. We don't have to have a solution in any moment. Really, relationships are about co-creating our experiences, which is about curiosity and having compassion and validation for the other person.
When it comes to the subject of intimacy and connection between partners, somebody had written in asking how to support their partner during intimacy if fertility might be a subject that, you know, affects a huge amount of relationships and also the kind of passion aspect of the relationship when fertility is on the mind, oftentimes kind of, you know, impacts people's connection, impacts people's relationship and also being present in their relationship. Do you have advice for someone who's wondering how to support their partner during a challenging time or wanting to connect during intimacy?
Don't be afraid to ask a hard question. I think a lot of us hold our questions back because we think we don't want to trigger the thought in them. We don't want to upset them more. And actually, when we do that, when we pull ourselves back and away, we create more of a distance and a divide between you and your partner. So I think in that way, it's the asking, you know, I've been thinking about you. How are you doing with these? What thoughts and feelings are you having lately? What's been a hard part for you, right? Like we, in a partnership, we're allowed to ask those questions. And then remember that it's your partner's responsibility to say whether they want to go into it or not. They might say, you know what, love? Right now in this moment, I don't want to talk about that hard stuff, but let's mark it for dinner time tomorrow. Or it might be I'm so glad you talked about this and that you're willing to open this conversation up because actually I've been thinking a lot about, right? So ask the hard questions. That is you creating intimacy when you are willing yourself to be vulnerable and do hard stuff.
Is there ever a point in people's relationships or in the couples that you have worked with where you would say this is too far gone, this is too, you know, off the deep end to kind of come back from this? Is there ever a point where it doesn't seem like there's anything to kind of come back from?
No, that is such a hard question, Catherine, because it's like, it just so depends on two people. I mean, I have worked with people where I have literally sat in front of them and said, listen, guys, neither one of you are willing to cross the bridge right here. You want this from her and you want this from him. We're stuck. So we're just going to be stuck. And sometimes people will stay in their stuckness. That's the choice that they want to do. And at that point, if that's where you're at, do seek out some individual therapy, because otherwise you just end up being stuck and it doesn't feel good. But whenever you're too far gone, it's so hard to say like what that actually looks like, because I've seen couples come back from really horrific things and go on to create a more meaningful, a more connected and intimate relationship after things like fidelity, infidelity. So it's hard to say.
Right. I think that it's obviously so, you know, depends on the couple and it's so specific for the couple. Mm-hmm. I really love all of these tips and these tricks and just the overall advice. I think, you know, we talk so much about growing families, about different phases of growing families, and also just different phases of parenthood in general. And the, you know, the learning lessons and kind of the nuggets of wisdom that come along the way. But I think the overall, you've obviously offered so many amazing tips. And I would say the biggest takeaway for me is really to start this work before there is a big problem, and to look at, you know, when you decide or you're in a situation where you are going to expand your family, just like you're doing all the work to prepare your home for a baby and to prepare your life for, you know, life after baby, also focus on preparing your relationship for that ahead of time. So before there is a situation where you guys are butting heads and filled with resentment, start that work ahead of time, because there's no downside to doing that. And even if it's not in a therapy setting, if it's just in a communication setting between the two of you, being able to start that communication and get comfortable doing that ahead of time sounds like it will be really helpful and change, I think, the course of a lot of people's relationships. So thank you so much for offering all of your amazing tips and tricks. And I'll make sure to link everything that you do and all the incredible work that you do and the awareness that you spread about just having great communication and also just being really real about, you know, a lot of the things that people are feeling in their relationships and in their dynamics at home, and just doing all the great work you do. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Catherine. And thank you for bringing this conversation to light and just really helping mothers and parents through that postpartum period.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.